I love to walk. I will take practically any excuse to walk somewhere. And I'm that friend where you see the memes where it's two points really far apart on a map and the friend says, "Don't worry, we can walk there." That's me. During the pandemic, I actually got in a habit for about a fateful 5 days, which we'll get to in a minute why it lasted 5 days, of walking and getting a matcha in the morning early before Jennifer was up. And I would take the walk, I would get the matcha, I would feel so good about drinking it, and then I would walk home and go about my day. Jennifer, do you remember those fateful 5 days?
I do. It was an interesting 5 days.
So here's the thing about healthy trends and healthy foods that we find. They affect us all differently. And there's a lot of health benefits to matcha. But it turns out, and I'll say it, because Jen won't, she's going to be really nice and she's not going to say it. The matcha was making me a hyper, crazy, insane person to live with.
Yeah, that about summed it up.
So I didn't even notice it.
I did.
And then Jen was like, "Whoa, hold up. What's changed? Mm-hmm. What are you doing differently? Because you are not acting like yourself. You're agitated. You're anxious. You're on edge. And you just don't feel like you."
You couldn't complete tasks.
Yeah, which is always a problem anyway. And this was like not completing tasks on speed.
On speed.
So yeah. I couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. And so she was quizzing me. And I'm like, "Well, I've been getting up and I've been taking a walk and getting a matcha." She's like, "Hold up. Well, you're drinking what?
Yeah, I think my first response was, "Why are we getting matcha?"
I'm like, "Well, it's really healthy for you," which is what we say about almost every fad and trend.
Coffee is really healthy for you.
And I was like, "Well, matcha's, I've heard it's really healthy for you. I wanted to try adding it." And that's the thing with any fad and any trend and any healthy thing. It can be incredibly life-giving and healthy for one person and then absolutely wreck the life of someone else.
My favorite part about this is the funniest thing within it is, so Heather and I both have MAX, so mast cell activation syndrome. So within that, back when we first were figuring all this out, we knew that green tea, which Heath drank all the time, again, for the health benefits, would be causing histamine chaos.
Yeah, it releases more histamine and you already have a histamine problem. And so then it creates a lot of these high histamine symptoms.
Yes. And you thought green tea bags versus matcha were different.
I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't really connect the dot.
Yeah.
You have to be a thoughtful consumer. Mm-hmm. The warning bells didn't go off in my brain that said, "No, matcha is a form of green tea, and you've already established that green tea is not a win for you."
Not a win whatsoever.
And so I was setting off a lot of histamine reactions, creating a lot of physical and mental symptoms that I couldn't even notice in the kind of like insanity and euphoria of it. And Jen was like, "No, this is not who you are. Let's backtrack and play detective." And then the next day, I did not get the matcha. I took the walk. I didn't get the matcha. And
it was lovely.
It was so much better. So much better.
And you got coffee instead.
And yes.
And you were still normal.
So in this conversation, basically, I'm sharing Jennifer with you, and she is going to share her behind the scenes insight on many different social media trends that involve things that on the surface can look very healthy and seem very good for you, but can have unintended consequences for you uniquely. And she'll explain that. And then there's just some trends in general that absolutely do have a consequence on your health. And we'll touch on a few of those as well.
Are you ready to change your tomorrow and start feeling good again? You're in the right place. Grab your coffee and together, let's start doing wellness differently. I'm Heather Young, a certified personal trainer.
And I'm Jennifer Klutz, a registered dietitian nutritionist. Join us for conversations that will inspire you to ask better questions, remove the overwhelm, and discover what you can do to change your health now.
Welcome to the Critical Conversations Podcast.
Most people now are more influenced by social media than any other factor that's ever been kind of top ranking. Mm-hmm. So when you go in there, you are consenting to being influenced. And that's what we want to talk about today is the actual fads and trends that always spiral up on social media, and some of our thoughts on some of them, but also just kind of framing it in a different way of so you understand what you're engaging with when you say yes to diving into social media.
Yeah, because when you start to understand that things do have consequences, that there can be harm on the one extreme side, or, you know, dysfunction that's created, you start to see it differently. And that's the goal within it, is giving some critical thinking skills to be like, do I want to do this? Is this a good idea? Or am I unaware of all of the factors that are involved with this decision? Most people are not, with fads and trends, especially when it comes to health, which is what we're focusing on. Many people do not understand the flip side of what's being presented to them.
And how the machine works. So when you are a business and you're on social media, you usually end up learning a lot more about how it works and the structure behind it. And you are literally opening up the door and seeing inside the engine a little bit as to how it works. And then you view it completely differently, because it's very easy to see a stream of videos and images and information coming across as something that's neutral, when in fact it's not. And this is our jumping off point, because when something feels like a fad or a trend to you on social media, you don't know that that's the case, because the algorithm is trying to guess what you're interested in. And so you're going to see something a lot, and it feels like billions of people are doing it instead of just millions of people doing it.
Or even just
or
15.
Or even 15 or and a you, thousand.
You saw all 15 videos because you clicked on one of them.
Yes. As soon as you engage with content on social media, the algorithm, which is basically the mechanism that determines what shows up in your feed, because for context, information-wise, billions of things are being posted practically every day.
It's 6 billion posts a day.
So you're not even seeing a percentage of that. You're seeing a nothing
staggering
slice of it. And they're choosing what you should be interested in based on what you've expressed interest in by liking something, sharing something, commenting on something.
And stopping. The two that I think most people are unaware of. If you even stop your scroll, even hesitate for even just half a second, they are interpreting that as interest.
Oh, we caught your attention.
We caught your attention.
Let's try something else in this topic.
Yes.
And see if you really are interested. And then you fall victim to these psychological principles of the more you see something, the more
you think it's happening.
Yes. And you give it more importance. And then all of a sudden it feels like everybody's doing it, when in fact they're not. So I feel like it's necessary to say that as you start to talk about trends and fads, because it helps to have a healthy respect that not everything actually is a trend or fad, because social media kind of creates a false environment for you as to what you're seeing. So with that in mind, we're going to dive into some of these trends and fads. Jen has her list, I have mine. And the reason we want to talk about them is, again, just to kind of raise awareness about how to think about them. But we also want to talk about them because these are ones that can have some back-end consequences to them. So they're worth mentioning because they actually do come with a shift in how you're taking care of yourself, or they come with a shift in your health. And we are huge believers in autonomy, where you get to be given all the information and then make your own choice as a functioning human.
Yes, if you want to do something after knowing the pros and the cons list,
we're here for it. You can do it.
You can do it. But what we commonly see is people get a pros list and they don't get a cons list.
And then they're a client because they're dealing with the aftermath of some choices that could have been potentially avoided if they'd had all the information.
Correct. Prevention really is life-changing. It really is key to having your best chance at living a healthy life. And many people are not being given the chance to prevent things. And that's what we're trying to share is, hey, just know that there's another side to the coin. And if you know it, then you can decide, do I want to choose to still take action on this, or do I see it differently now?
Yes. Okay. So the first trend we're going to tackle is something that's sparked up very recently, but has become entrenched so quickly that it was actually added to the dictionary as an actual recognized term. And that is girl dinners. Jennifer feels all sorts of feelings about this one.
I do. This highlights, this is the umbrella that highlights what we are taking on every time we choose to try and have health conversations with anyone. And the girl dinner is 1,000% propped up on the already unhealthy beliefs that Americans have for taking care of themselves. So we're dealing with many people don't know how to fuel themselves. They don't know how to eat. And we're dealing with people just do not understand how the basics of the body work. And so when you are working with an already low value system for how you're taking care of yourself in the day to day and deciding if learning how your body works is even a part of a value to you, this to me represents that neither of them are a value, and it's a problem because girl dinners are legitimately how low can you go with how you fuel yourself?
Right. Because for anyone who hasn't bumped into it, it's basically a snack plate. It's this idea that some cheese balls and a Diet Coke
is a dinner.
That one actually went a little bit viral off of a clothing company I follow, Altered State. They did ornaments, put cheese balls and a Diet Coke together and called it a girl dinner. There's no calories, there's no protein, there's no nutrition, there's nothing. So it's a small plate of snack foods. Like it'll be random pickles and grapes or crackers, or some people then have taken into being like just we grab the cereal for dinner. And that's been around for a long time. But what has been around for a long time is that girls do not value fueling their bodies with nutrition.
I mean, I wouldn't even just say it's girls. In general,
humans
in America especially don't value or understand proper nutrition. They just don't. And I think that's one of the biggest barriers when you are trying to support someone with making health change is most people are walking in and believing they know how to eat. When the reality is the average person does not know how to eat. Who taught you what to put on your plate determines how you feel yourself as an adult.
And it determines how you feel.
Right. So both of them together, right? You think this is normal. So the first part of getting to a place where you have a different relationship with food is starting with the fact of laying down what you know, what you think you know. Because on average, what most people know about what they put on their plate isn't going to make them feel good the next day. So my biggest issue with girl dinners are, right, what are the common complaints for females? Fatigue, anxiety, depression. And
brain fog,
right? Being catty. These are the common things that are associated with females. And all of these are rooted in what you put on your plate, right? You're going to have no energy. You're going to have anxiety through the yin yang when you eat just cheese balls and Diet Coke. Because what's left out of that conversation is the low level, oh, this is care, says, well, at least they're fed. But were they, though? That's the lie within it. What were they fed? Because the reality is they were fed just a low amount of calories and a carbohydrate-based meal with caffeine late at night. And we know, if you just take the time to understand basic science, you give yourself just carbohydrates, your blood sugar is not going to stay stable. And then you add caffeine on top of that, double destabilization, high likelihood for massive spike in anxiety, massive spike in low mood, massive spike in brain fog, massive spike in not being able to fall asleep. Therefore, the next day, you start it all over again. I'm tired. I have no energy. I'm cranky. I'm not happy. And this is just who I am.
That, and again, because this isn't like a conversation about sleep, but that kind of a girl dinner is probably going to have you waking up in the middle of the night because of the lack of blood sugar control. So it's a major impact on sleep. So all told, check all the boxes. None of it helps you be a incredibly productive, amazing, empathetic, kind, smart, successful member of society. And so it's not a trend we love. We don't love it. The critical thinking behind it says, how do these kind of meals make you feel? And then do we need to celebrate them or kind of let them die behind fueling yourself intentionally to feel better?
That, because the next layer on top of this is people will jump to, oh, well, you have a problem with Diet Coke and you have a problem with cheese balls. Neither. You get to choose what you want to put on your plate. What we're talking about here is you need some additions to that in order for you to make those choices and not be a crazy person the next day. And that's the part of the conversation on social, that the divide is getting so wide. You're have one side that's throwing any nutritional science out with the baby with the bathwater completely. It doesn't even have, doesn't even matter anymore. Who cares? Eat whatever. And then you have this other side that is extreme, that everything needs to be this pristine, supposedly nutrient-dense thing. And even that doesn't bring the level of health and wellness that's claimed with that style of eating, right? And so the truth is in the middle. Basic care, basic knowledge, basic understanding of what makes you show up well. And again, if you then know how to show up well, if you now know, okay, protein has to be put on the plate, some good fats should be put on the plate. So I have stability with these carbohydrates that I'm consuming, and the caffeine that I'm choosing to consume has a buffer. So it's not hitting me and sending me into an adrenaline overload state, right? You still choose to just eat cheese balls and a Diet Coke with having a basic understanding of, you know, your body's not going to love that. And here's why. You get to do that. But, you know, from my perspective, 90% of the population doesn't even know what they should add to that choice. To make it neutral, right? You want to choose those foods, fine, but let's make it better. Let's add some things to it that are going to not have you in what I call train wreck status 2 hours later. And that's, this is why we have such a tug of war, because we can't just sit in neutrality and be like, let me help you make these decisions better. Because what I see is if you don't attack the choice, right, you don't attack the cheese balls and you don't attack the Diet Coke, and you instead educate on, do you know you're supposed to not feel this way? And this is primarily being driven by your how you are currently eating. And then you teach them what to add to the things. And then they get to start to experience, oh my gosh, I fell asleep and I slept all night. I didn't even wake up. Oh my goodness, I'm not anxious. Like, it is significantly 50% better, right? Because not all anxiety is being driven by blood sugar dysregulation and food, but it is a major driver. And they start to see how much better and calmer they can feel in their body besides working on the other tools they need for like the mindset and the emotional things. They start to see that they're feeling different. And then guess what? Then the questions come of like, hey, is there something else that I could choose besides cheese balls? Because they've seen the impact of what adding things will do instead of taking things away from them arbitrarily and saying, you can't have that. Stop it. Don't eat it. They're currently attached to those things. You can't just swoop in and say, oh, you can't have those. Instead, it's, let me show you how different you can feel with some different choices. And then they're ready to start asking better questions of like, hey, how much better could I feel if I was choosing something other than the cheese balls? What can I try? Let's try it. And again, without the threat of like, and don't you dare ever grab cheese balls again. It's, here, try these options instead and see what you notice. And when you allow people to discover how to fuel themselves from a place of excitement and a place of fun and from a place of safety of like, hey, we're not just swooping in and telling you everything you're doing is wrong. You can't be doing these things. Instead, we're just going to use basic science that says this is how we can make a plate. What you're choosing for carbs, I personally wouldn't be choosing, but that doesn't matter. Because it's still a carb. So let's bring in all the other things that you need to surround that carbohydrate to make it work better in your body.
Mm-hmm. So then you're informed and you just continuously get to make better choices as that opens up to you.
Yes. And you will become a different eater when you get to experience feeling differently.
Yes.
It's just, it's a natural progression because suddenly you realize, oh my gosh, I want that extra 25%. You start to be able to feel it. The awareness turns on because when you just feel bad, you feel bad.
Yes. Now, awareness is actually at the heart of this next trend. Some people, because something is a trend and everyone is doing it, you have a placebo effect or a no effect where you stop observing your unique body and you're not as willing to admit when it's not working for you. And Jen's like, what trend is this going to be? Yeah. And that is the trend of drinking bone broth. Because drinking bone broth for some people can make them feel good. And then for a lot of people can make them feel really bad, but they won't connect it to the bone broth because bone broth is a trendy thing mm-hmm. you can do right now to make it look like you're taking care of yourself.
That false care.
False care, majoring in the minors, uh-huh. a minor thing. But more importantly, I didn't talk through some of the awareness questions people can ask themselves to see if they're actually really getting a positive effect from drinking bone broth.
So if you're in the category that you would put yourself into generally don't feel well, which is what led you on
looking things
up,
I
need to take care of myself better, or you did have a medical crisis or a medical challenge that automatically puts you in, you are no longer the status quo average person. You are in a different category. Your body is not going to react the same to things because of these different variables that are now present for you, as opposed to someone that is considered healthy and optimal. And bone broth falls into this category for most people within what I would call the chronic disease or chronic illness category, or has a chronic medical condition. Because once you are in that category, your nervous system does not work the same. Your minerals are not the same. Depending on the cascade of nutritional issues that are going on, body care issues that are going on, nervous system issues that are going on, mental issues that are going on, this is going to send you into a tailspin because there is a lot of properties in bone broth that people are unaware of that can legitimately mess you up. So the biggest one being it's really high in glutamate. And so this is an excitatory neurotransmitter in our brains. And so you start giving someone that's already what we would call in an excitatory state. So when someone is in a chronic illness state, you're usually not working with someone that's in a calm, I feel good in my body, I'm not stressed out at all person. You're dealing with the exact opposite. You're trying to coach in, okay, let's relearn how to be in a state of rest. Let's relearn how to be in a state of calm. And because anxiety or stress or discomfort or overwhelm, whatever negative emotion you want to put in there, their status quo is not
neutral.
It's just not.
Right.
Despite best effort. You can be positive, you can be a happy person, but your generalized state, if you're being honest, is you're a little aware. You're a little on edge.
And your body's a little aware too. So its reaction to a shift in properties inside the body, a shift in nutrients, a shift in minerals, or bringing in something that can be seen as an allergen is going to be much more of an extreme reaction.
Right. So you, in general, within this category, you're already probably, due to genetics, these different things, going to be more reactive to high amounts of glutamate. So for comparison here, glutamate is what is in MSG. And this is why...
No one knows that, Jen.
Yes, this is why someone who says, I'm allergic to Chinese food, oh, lordy. This is the same reactive response. It's coming from that glutamate. And so that's why people will eat Chinese food and they can't sleep all night. They go into the sweats. They get anxiety.
They have bowel problems.
They have bowel movements, right? You get into loose stools. They start itching. It's the same response. And it's from the same... And like chemical that is produced. And so what I commonly see is, as you know, people are coming to me and they're like, I've gotten bone broth up to 4 times a day. And then they're talking to me and they're like, but what I need your help with is I can't sleep. I'm anxious. I don't know how to calm down. I have loose stools and I can't sit down to save my soul. And I'm like, well, let's just do one thing. remove the bone broth.
And other things to look for as well is brain fog from high histamine, because I'm going to jump ahead and tell you I know a chemical in bone broth that makes it not a good fit for me.
And me.
Is it really has too much histamine for it to be a win.
It's an aged, it's considered in the category of being an aged food. So histamine is also going to give you that same list. So hives, brain fog, insomnia, itchy, anxiety riddled, bloating, brain fog,
dry mouth, all the things.
All the things, including rapid heart rate. That one really starts to go after, you know, the autonomic nervous system. And that's also a problem, right? And then on top of it, just, you know, because it's the thing that can do all things, you have high sulfur in bone broth. And many people are sensitive to sulfur, especially if you're having gut health issues, because sulfur needs to be broken down in the gut. And so that can be causing bloating, itching, brain fog, hives. And they all sound the same, but you could be reacting to a different chemical that's in there. Doesn't mean you're reactive to all of these. But in general, most people that identify with having some type of gut issue, some type of sleep issue, some type of chronic illness, some type of I genuinely do not feel well, or some type of chronic illness, highly likely you're not going to do well with one of these components in bone broth.
So two key things for the critical thinking. One, start paying attention if you have started bone broth to what has changed in your body and in your health, because a lot of people will have these negative reactions attribute to their fact they aren't in good health anyway or their condition and not attribute it to starting the bone broth when in fact it can be playing a role.
The common myth, because let's just tackle the myth here, what I see over and over again is people going in and go, I have so many people in my comments telling me they tried bone broth for the first time and they don't feel good. Push through. That's just a detox effect.
Ugh.
That is not a detox effect. And for 100% clarity here, detoxification should not make you feel like doo-doo.
Yeah, actually, we have to talk about that, because detoxification, it's a fad. It's talked about on social media, but it's also very misunderstood almost on every level.
On every level possible.
Because it is used as an excuse for most social media trends as a reason to ignore what your body is telling you about what you just tried.
Yeah, if you take one thing away from this conversation, the biggest myth that social media has established, and the biggest myth within the integrative side
of holistic
medicine,
side.
The holistic side is that healing should be crappy.
Yeah, it's okay if you're just herxing or
it's
if you're just
a
having
reaction,
a detox reaction.
This is false.
Yeah.
If it is not going well, it is not going well. Yeah. That means it is not working.
And even if something could ultimately end up working for you in the future, I see that your body's saying it's not ready yet. And people don't have a healthy respect for, like, if you are actually releasing heavy metals or releasing chemicals and you haven't even worked with someone that tells you that your detox pathways are actually open, is the dam actually running, then you're going to feel terrible and it wasn't supposed to happen then. You should get the pathways open, start healing, start feeling better, and then consider touching things like that. People touch things early with no oversight that can go
horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So that detox thing is a big question. But like with the bone broth, we're not saying bone broth doesn't have its purposes for some people, but you have to really watch how your body reacts. Because, for example, my husband drank bone broth and he did it when he was having knee surgery, working on cartilage with his knee. It helped him. But guess what? He didn't say, oh my gosh, why am I dealing with all these negative symptoms? He felt a benefit from drinking it. You have to be really honest that you feel like something new and negative hasn't popped up in your life.
Yeah, but the other layer on top of it is, what bone broth are you drinking?
That, because here's the thing. He was making his
yes.
own every day. And here's a major thing that needs to be said. Most bone broth is made from the bones of animals that has heavy metals in it.
Yes, which is why I don't recommend it anymore.
It's actually something I absolutely do not believe in unless you 1,000% know the source. And if they can't tell you that they test for heavy metals, it's probably a problem. And this leads into the next social media trend, which is greens powders.
Ugh.
And any powder on social media that you see, I don't care what it is, if it's a protein powder, if it's a greens powder, if it's a reds powder, all of them. If that company cannot tell you that they test for heavy metals, you should not buy it.
No.
Because there are lawsuits waiting to happen. there are lawsuits that have been privately settled with you are getting introduced to extremely high levels of heavy metals on a decision you thought you were taking to be healthy that absolutely takes you and puts your body under a heavy toxic load.
Yeah, because what gets lost in this conversation is that greens powders, reds powders, they're concentrated.
Yeah.
And depending on the person, I will recommend a quality one that I know is testing for heavy metals. And I think they're reputable, of being honest. And doing that occasionally can be really helpful for people. So I'm not saying I never recommend these things, but it legitimately, as you know, is situational and depending on what's going on. And then two, people will be like, well, then don't eat any fruits and vegetables. No, because fruits and vegetables in general, anything, any fruit and vegetable you eat has heavy metals. This is often left out of the conversation. It's like, yes, there's metals in the soil. There's metals in the water. Like, you're getting exposed to different things that are not the best for the body, but you're not being exposed to them in the concentrations on a daily basis that you are in reds or greens powders.
Right. It's like, do you want to clean up a drip under a sink? That's your body just doing some cleanup work with heavy metals, with fruits and vegetables. Or do you want to turn on a hose, like a fire hose in your house and clean that up? That's the dosage that can be coming in some of these really
cheap
powders.
Yeah.
If you think you're buying inexpensive things, it could come with a really high cost.
Well, the thing to understand with reds and greens powders is you're getting, in theory, right? Because again, this comes down to quality.
And honesty.
And
by
honesty.
The company.
You're getting access to, supposedly, right, antioxidants and polyphenols from those fruits and vegetables. That's the component you get from reds and greens powder. So in theory, that should be helping to mitigate inflammation. It should be helping to mitigate oxidative stress. That's the why you would take those. But what gets lost there is, right, you're not getting all of the components of fruits and vegetables by taking a reds and greens powder. Most of the vitamins and minerals are obliterated with the drying process that's involved with making a reds and greens powder. I don't care what how cold process they say it happened, you're not getting a lot of vitamins and minerals. Two, you're not getting the fiber. Like, that's completely lost within making something into a powder. So what they have not proven, like legit, we talk about this all the time, is it the antioxidants? Is it the polyphenols? Or is it the fiber? They don't fully know. So you're throwing all your eggs in this supposed antioxidants polyphenol basket. And I'm not, you know, I'm pro antioxidants, pro polyphenols. I think they legitimately matter. But on the flip side, I fully recognize that they don't fully know which is doing what.
And fiber is a major issue in American diets, which
yes.
We need to discuss. And so getting the whole combined together where you get the antioxidants, polyphenols.
Way more important.
It is. So eat your fruits and vegetables, people, and you can save the money on the greens powders. Okay. Another thing I see advertised, colostrum. It's coming into feeds as sponsored posts. They're on all the podcasts, and they're also like have a lot of celebrity push behind them now. Now, colostrum is amazing.
We love colostrum.
It is.
Yes, it is.
I always say it wrong. Colostrum.
Colostrum.
Okay. So it's awesome.
We
I actually
say
took
it wrong because we're from the Midwest.
I think so. It's potato, potato.
I always flip between the two. I hear myself and I'm like, wait a minute. I think I just said that wrong.
Yeah.
Even when I'm talking to a client, I'm like, wait, no, it's colostrum.
Yeah.
Not colostrum.
Colostrum. So it was actually a part of my healing journey from everything that I went through. And it was a huge component in that. But here's why we're mentioning this fad. Because I didn't know until Jen told me. Okay. So this is not my specialty. This is Jen's. There is a big difference in what colostrum you're getting.
It's so staggering. It's sad. So, and this is, from my perspective, this is why the supplement industry will get taken down. Unfortunately, we are trending very fast towards the
major oversight.
Major oversight, which is horrible and sad and will be incredibly problematic, which is why part of the reason why we started to want to have these conversations, because I think the more people that become educated and they're not jumping on these trends and they start to become an informed consumer about what to look for and what to buy and what to spend their hard-earned money on, that too. These supplements that we're talking about are not cheap.
No.
They cost a lot of money. And so within that, knowing that you're getting something reputable and therapeutic is really important. But the therapeutic aspect of the unregulated part of supplements is absolutely why things are going to come down the pipeline. And colostrum is definitely one of those, because what the research these people are using to promote this product, the dose and the type of colostrum that is used in that research is not what you are buying. But on the flip side of that, you can buy the colostrum that was used in that research, but it's considered medical grade and you have to get it through a practitioner. And the major differences between them is you have what's called IgG in colostrum. And that is the part of the therapeutic component.
It's the magic sauce.
It's part of the magic sauce. I love that. That is going to help to give you those gut healing properties, to give you that reduction in inflammation, besides other things like lactoferrin that's in there, which is a milk protein. And the colostrum that you can buy that these people are promoting, I'm not going to say the top names, but just know any of them. I have asked. I've sent emails because my curiosity, I can't help. I'm like, okay, this is way too inexpensive, quote unquote, still expensive, but too inexpensive based on what I know about quality colostrum for this to have the therapeutic levels of IgG and lactoferrin that should be in it for it to create a gut healing effect. And it never does. So what you're looking for on the label is for a colostrum to heal or help to stem inflammation that's going on in the gut, it should have a 35% level of IgG. And it should be 5 grams or more. And the average colostrum that you are buying over the counter or from these websites is 1 gram total of colostrum, not a therapeutic dose at all. And they can't tell you the level of IgG that's in it.
Right.
Which is all you need to know.
So it's frustrating again because it's actually an extremely powerful thing, but you can easily become a part of the sector of people who isn't going to notice a difference, or you're going to be disappointed if you really are trying to create healing in your body.
That's how they're going to take down the industry though, because they're not wrong. The people posting the one-star reviews and saying, I didn't notice anything. I didn't even know I was taking something. It's like true facts. That's hashtag true. And that's what's disappointing is, you're not going to get a therapeutic effect from that. I could have already told you that, but you don't know that. When they propped it up as it's this thing, and the FDA is going to say, no, you don't get to scam consumers like this anymore, which is true, right? But it's also frustrating because colostrum can legitimately prevent someone from having to have their colon removed. Like, it can prevent colitis. It can help to limit and reduce ulcerative colitis. It can help to heal and recover the gut on so many levels for so many gut-related conditions. It's amazing. But they're not getting that colostrum. That's not what they are getting.
Yeah.
What they're getting is a high lactose-containing colostrum as well. And so then when they post, hey, you told me that this wouldn't cause gut issues despite being dairy sensitive. And then they go, oh, well, sorry to hear that. And again, it's like, yeah, because again, when you have a colostrum that's not high in IgG, it's not high in lactoferrin, it's not high in these medicinal properties, you are going to be high in lactase because it's a cheaper, different type of colostrum. So you're going to most likely get a dairy response. But on top of that, if you are someone who's sensitive to dairy, there is a specific way that you introduce and bring colostrum in so that way you gain tolerance to it.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say with this one especially, the thing that's frustrating is people will grab the bottle and just start taking it.
Ugh.
And it really reduces your chance of success to really think about if you have a baby and you bring it home to your dog. You don't just throw the baby at the dog and be like, here, here's a moving thing that can make all these unexpected movements. Nothing's going to go wrong. Odds are the dog's going to freak out a little bit. Most people who care really take the time to introduce them, create a safe environment, calm environment, so it goes really well. you want to do the same thing with introducing something as powerful and as new as colostrum to your immune system. Plan it out so that you have a shot for it to be like, okay, we recognize this, we see this, you aren't overwhelming us, we don't have to freak out, and we can start to get used to really using this to fill in all the holes that have been created throughout your body. So if you don't have a known plan for introducing it, you're just going to go down the hatch to see how it goes. This is one of the ones where it's so effective that it could not go well, and you might not attribute it to the colostrum.
That and just any supplement.
Yes.
You should never be willy-nilly jumping right on to high doses of anything. And that's the deeper part of this conversation of within the naturalist side of things. So many people are being coached into believing, oh, it's natural, so it's safe. Just because something's quote-unquote natural, and that there's an argument within that, right, of what makes something natural, it still has a chemical. It still has a chemical component to it that's creating a chemical response in your body that's creating the outcome. And so then they think, oh, I can just take this natural thing and nothing bad is going to happen.
Yes.
And false. Absolutely. Very bad things can happen with natural things as well. And so that, again, I see as a problem area within people being able to just grab and try.
And it's just popular now. It's a trend to show the supplements you've been given, especially maybe by a practitioner, and you've been dosed. And we act like it's not something where you need to be specifically dosed based on your height, your weight, your medical history, your allergies, your reactions, and things like that. And so the critical thinking side about looking at supplementation on social media really needs to move up a level, because it can create negative results in the body. You need to ask, do I know that this is right for me? Has it been dosed for me? And based on my condition, I promise you, the information going around social media is not including all of the unique, very small threads and strings that introducing something new, including supplements, is going to pull in your body. There's so many connections. It's so intricate.
Very. And especially more intricate and more layers if you already don't feel well in your body.
Yes. And again, you're more in that excitatory state. Oh. You're going to have bigger reactions to things. And then you have to be able to mitigate those.
Well, there's already a dysfunction going on, right? Not coming from a negative place, but coming from an awareness place again of saying, okay, well, if my body is not optimal, what isn't optimal? So the reframe on that is something isn't optimal right now because you don't feel optimal. And throwing something blindly at it doesn't mean that it's going to become optimal. Because if you don't even know the system or the reasons for that dysfunction to be going on, just blindly chucking some B vitamins at it, right? You could end up in the ER in a full-blown panic attack, because everything has a response. And it is way easier to throw 75 different supplements at someone under, you know, a very loose label like nutritionist or, you know, health coach, because you are blind and unaware of the very bad things that combining those 75 things can do. And that's not said judgmentally of like, oh, they have to stop doing what they're doing. Like, they can't be a nutritionist, they can't be a health coach. No, it's more along the lines of, but that should not be in their scope of care. They have not been educated on being able to use these things correctly.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem lies.
And I would say, so for critical thinking, a really good rule of thumb that helped me was understanding that if someone acted like they were a little more concerned or a little bit more tentative, as in like they were painstaking about how they were applying things or giving them to you, and it felt a little bit more deliberate, that's a good sign. The most confident people who just fire a supplement at you or say it in their video or show it in their video probably know the least about what that supplement can do in the body. And I want to be clear, we're not gatekeeping on you getting to try supplements and you doing research to take care of yourself. at all. If anything, we're trying to raise the level of awareness in your mind that if you stumble across something, you can't just take the first confident video you see at face value. You're going to have to do your own research and look deeper into the layers of understanding and then actually bother to Google side effects or contraindications of this thing and to look it up, test it out. If you're going to fight for yourself, really fight all the way.
Well, that, but it's also helping to fight for maintaining the right for you to be able to walk
into a store. I know, because if we don't keep
it's going to go down.
They will take it away.
Oh, yeah.
If too many people are cavalier and then you've got people heading to the ER because they just took another supplement without acting like it could have a response
in the
body.
And that's the thing. ER visits due to supplements is rising.
Yeah, it's going up and up and it's getting attention.
Remind
your friends. Guys, it's like protecting recess rights where you start to self-police each other and make sure that you're not going to get in trouble with the teachers.
Especially on the integrative side, there needs to be a lot more self-policing, for sure.
Yeah. That says, are we actually being really mindful with this, considerate, and looking at the full picture of the reaction that can happen?
And then the highly pessimistic and highly aware side says money will always win, and so there will not be self-policing because supplements are the backbone of money-making, and absolutely, we're just going to keep floating down this river.
Probably.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you can actually be a really educated consumer and keep taking those extra steps of doing research. Because since we're on this whole supplement trend, I want to mention one more. Nature's Ozempic.
Oh, I was like, what one? Not Nature's Ozempic. Not the same. Okay. So Nature's Ozempic, for anyone who does not know, is berberine. Which, tell you, I love berberine. It is amazing. It can do wonderful things for the body, especially with insulin resistance, blood sugar control, even with just calming some gut dysbiosis down, you know, calming bloating down. It kind of helps to gently clear out some, you know, less than optimal bad guys in the gut. And it's a really great herb. It really, really is. But it is not Nature's Ozempic.
For anyone who seriously needs to consider Ozempic or something for any kind of big health reason, which is its own conversation, saying that berberine and Nature's Ozempic is going to do the same thing in the body is doing them a disservice. It is not.
Yeah, it is not doing that whatsoever. It's not a correlation. They're doing two completely different things in the body.
And again, if somebody's telling you about Nature's Ozempic on social media, take a quick look. Odds are, do they even know its mechanism of action in the body? Probably not.
Ozempic is the main mechanism of action, right? Is shutting down your hunger. That is the mechanism of action. That's not the chemical mechanism of action, which I'm not going to bore anyone with, but that's the outcome. As the berberine outcome, the mechanism of action of what it's doing scientifically and chemically, it's improving your blood sugar control. It's two completely different things, which anyone hearing that can tell that. One is reduced hunger. One is blood sugar control.
Yeah.
Have I ever seen anyone lose a lot of weight while taking berberine? As someone who's used it practically for 15 years, no. I have not.
And anyone on social, I think, who says that they have.
They're changing their lifestyle.
They're changing their lifestyle. They start taking it. They're making other changes. And I think it's a murky water of what came first, the chicken or the egg. And you're happy that they're getting healthier, but they're probably misattributing the results they're getting.
1,000%. I have never put someone on this herb and spontaneous weight loss
started to happen, which is how it's talked about in some of the salacious social media conversations.
Because they're trying to promote this belief around it because they're selling the supplement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't recommend the supplement, right? But I'm also not going to lie to you and say you're going to lose 15 pounds by taking berberine. You're not.
Well, guess what? Berberine isn't even as good as Ozempic, because Ozempic is promising to have you lose 40 pounds
in 2 months.
Which is, can we talk about this, ladies? We're better than this.
Very much so.
How many years have we heard the salacious claim, lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks, lose 50 pounds in 2 months? This is just another one. You take a cup of water, a half a cup of oats, and squeeze a half of lime. They couldn't even give you the whole freaking lime, and put it in water and drink it as your morning drink. And then the high promise is you're going to lose 40 pounds, which we know isn't going
to
happen.
Okay, so you're going to lose weight because this thing is only 140 calories. So if you've been eating, let's say, a 600-calorie breakfast, a 700-calorie breakfast, an 800-calorie breakfast, right? You're taking it and you're slashing it, you know, way down as far as your calorie intake goes. The other disturbing trend with this drink is that from the posts that I look at, this miraculous 140-calorie drink is supposed to prevent you from having to need lunch. So you're supposed to somehow keep walking, talking, and doing the things by not eating again.
Which, as I said at the beginning of this, we're better than this.
Right.
At some point now, we should have enough of an understanding to say, I think my body deserves to be fed.
Well, enough of an understanding of how the body works. God designed the body to eat at least 3 times a day. Some could argue 2. But what should be emphasized is you are supposed to get hungry. The body only functions by putting food into it. You die without food. And the fact that we are at 2024, and I feel like still 90% of the average woman walking around still is falling for stuff that's completely refuted by science. Right? If weight loss is your number one goal, it is achievable. We know how to do it. And we still have Ozempic happening. And still having starving happening. And it makes me spicy, as you can tell, because I don't understand how the default at the year of 2024 is still the belief system that you are not supposed to eat.
Yeah.
Where the better question is, how am I supposed to eat?
In a sustainable way that you can carry forward with you so that way you could keep the weight off. It is a little mind-boggling, but look, we have to say it because unfortunately the lure is always there. It just sounds great. It really does. If you're someone who's in a season where now you're trying to like start taking care of your body again, look, it's easy to fall for it. But we're just throwing it out there since it's a trend. It's not going to work the way you think it's going to work. And it's still going to mess up your hunger, fullness cues, your relationship with food, your peace, and just the whole rhythm of your life. And not to mention, if we surveyed the friends and family around said women doing said trend, I'm thinking they might be a little cranky. So the big thumbs down on that trend, but it's this driving force of searching for weight loss. And so another one that I think is getting people to twist themselves into a pretzel that comes from a theoretically really good place, but can end up in some really like time-consuming fix places where you need to fix it is pro-metabolic. Because just like with the detox response where they're like, don't worry about it, you're just detoxing. With pro-metabolic, what I've seen...
I know what you're going to say.
Is they're like, oh, some weight's coming back on. Don't worry about it. Your body's healing.
It's healing weight gain.
It's healing weight gain.
Yeah.
And that can be true for many people.
But that's the nuance within it. It's like maybe someone does need to gain weight.
So who does it help the most? And then when does it go sideways on people?
Oh, yes. So great question. So this is going to help someone 30 and under who has been afraid of very specific food groups, including carbs and dairy and just sugar in general, and someone who has lost their period or is having irregular periods and is someone that has worked out a lot, is not under-muscled. They actually have muscle, and you give them this way of eating, which I would argue is normal eating on some level, and does focus on protein, which is good, and it's going to regulate that person that's in that category. Young, muscled, and under-eating. It's going to change your life.
You're
going to
feel amazing.
You will feel amazing, and you will see amazing results because this person was very clearly undernourishing. And was not eating enough, you know, vitamins, minerals, basic nourishment. And then they got permission from this set of rules that the pro-metabolic diet gives you to feel safe enough to be eating these things. It's going to do great things. It is not going to do great things if you are 35 and over, under-muscled, do not have enough muscle, and eat like a normal person, and had a regular diet before, and then you're going to start trying to pound OJ and simple sugar and all these other things, for you, it is going to lead to weight gain and maybe not even the hormone balance, quote unquote, that they claim you're getting from it. Because to be very clear, right, it's not going to temper perimenopause. It doesn't work that way. The physiologic response that is diminishing hormone production is not something controlled by food. So they're using an extreme leap to make people think that this is going to change your life. And then when you get into, right, these groups, then you find out that, oh, they're eating all these foods, they're promoting all these things, but they have you calorie counting, they have you macro counting. And this is the group of people then that is not gaining copious amounts of weight, that are seeing some changes, because automatically, once you control calories in versus calorie out, you're going to see changes in your health because it's been modified. The math has been done to figure out what does your body need to thrive within this specific calorie recommendation, broken down into different macro targets. So, but most people are never buying the program part, right? They're never going into this person's program for how they control for the, okay, we're making the primary, you know, simple sugar, a lot of carbohydrates. We're bringing back in dairy, which is, you know, is great. Love that. We're eating more protein. Love that. But then you also have these other weird sidebars, which I will give the founder of this, I think, Ray Pete. I will give him, because I've read all about it. He did not promote this side of things. This is how a diet trend takes over and other people bring on life of its own.
It's like great. It's a game of telephone.
Yes.
Like he said it his way.
He said it his way, which was correct. And they've taken it and manipulated it.
So seven times removed from what he originally
did. So he was not having people do liver shots of, you know, freezing liver, cutting it and swallowing it raw. He was just eating liver once a week, which is what I would tell anybody to be doing to get really good vitamin A source. And then two, the other huge one that's popular in the community that I can tell is just consuming pounds upon pounds of oysters because they're high in zinc. From what I can tell, he was very rational and was like, if you have access to oysters, they're a source of zinc. It's a good source. So you should be eating them. But as any rational person recognizes, not everyone lives next to oysters. Not everyone can tolerate oysters. There's actually real shellfish and fish allergies where someone can't eat them. And from my understanding, he gave you all the list of other zinc sources that you could be eating.
But oysters just kind of like bubbled
to go
the
over
top
the
and
world.
Over.
And so, and this is a tell for any like trend diet that's not true. If someone can't do it without access to a modern world, right? So if you do not live next to the sea, if you are not fishing oysters every single day, like these people are doing, they're popping cans of oysters every single day. It's not the reality for, if you look at the whole world, you can't say that this is the one and only diet, this is it, if half the world can't even get access to this food that you're claiming is integral to the diet.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that there's so many other issues with it, I feel like we could be here all day for it. But the other one that I will mention is the seed oils. And again, based on sound science, but taken on a life of its own, because you need omega-3s. Your diet should primarily be made up of omega-3 fatty acids, not omega-6 fatty acids. So for anyone who doesn't know, the argument with seed oils is seed oils are higher in omega-6s to omega-3 fatty acids.
So they're calling them pro-inflammatory.
Yes. And so in general, we do know that if you eat more omega-6 to omega-3, that is going to push the body more towards an inflammatory profile. This is why recommendations are encouraging you to eat omega-3s, right? Which is why fish should be in your diet. You know, nuts and seeds should be in your diet. Olive oil should be in your diet because you want omega-3s. I think the life of its own part about this is, again, it falls into the extreme category because I do agree with it. In general, America uses a lot of seed oil. It uses a lot of oils, even in product that are going to be higher in omega-6 to omega-3. And the issue with this is that, like, you only have so many number of enzymes in the body that can metabolize fatty acids. So the argument is, if you're filling them all up with omega-6s, then you're not going to be able to metabolize as many omega-3s, which is true. This research has shown this. So in general, even in school, we're learning this. Like, if you are taking care of someone that's really sick, you actually do care about their
tracking it.
Yes, and tracking it. Especially like with tube feedings and things. You're not giving someone that is very unwell more omega-6s to omega-3s. You're giving them more omega-3s to omega-6s. You actually check the math on this. So what I think is creating chaos, though, is you get to control what comes into your house as far as whether or not you're eating omega-3s versus omega-6s. Omega-6s become a problem if your diet is highly processed. So if someone is eating a primarily ultra-processed food diet, the omega-6s are absolutely going to come into play, and it's going to create inflammation. It's going to create negative health outcomes. If you are someone that does pay attention to what's coming into your house, yeah, you can pay attention if someone is if a product is using a seed oil, and pick another product that's using something like an olive oil instead. But to change out even like your face creams and the things that you're applying to your skin and making it all
seed oil free.
I don't see it panning out in the long run. I actually don't think it's going to have, it doesn't really have any meaningful impact from my perspective. If anything, it's just going to give people heart attacks and freak them out and stress them out. And we already have too many stressed out people.
And there are probably, in my opinion, bigger essentials to put your thinking power into that are going to dramatically change your body. And hyper-focusing your time and attention on eliminating all seed oils is an expensive focus.
So expensive. If you're someone who is not feeling well and you have a lot of health issues going on, that is not – is it needed? That understanding, yes. But that is not how I'm going to teach it. I'm not going to tell you, oh, you have to start avoiding this thing. I'm going to teach you what to add, what to look for on a label that would be even better, not freak you out and scare you and act like canola oil can never pass your lips or bad, bad, bad things are going to happen to you. We want to keep it to a minimum, yes. And again, you're allowed to pick if canola oil comes in or out at all. Not opposed to that. But I've reached a point where I realize that nuance, that's an individual thing, and I'm not giving you that to think about. I'm actually focusing on major big hitters that are going to meaningfully change your life. And obsessing about seed oils is not going to get you there.
I want to put one more trend in here because we are talking, girl. Despite the conversation. But a huge trend on social media that I don't think many people are aware of is the infiltration of AI. Mm-hmm. I don't think everyone understands how many of the images now coming across your feed are actually artificial intelligence that has artificially created the image or the video that you're watching. They are very good. And so you have this convergence of, we always knew filters were in use, so you're kind of looking at a little bit of an unnatural reality. And filters are heavily used because, you know, you have studies that show women will significantly be uncomfortable or reluctant to post if they don't think they can filter themselves. And that was its own problem. But the new level of AI isn't just producing artificial content, it's producing artificial accounts where like hundreds of thousands of people are following what looks like a human experiencing a life, especially females.
Yes.
And it's this idealized version with the perfect waist size, the absolutely never find it in nature waist to bust size.
Right.
And the eye and the symmetrical face and following the golden triangle.
And the hair that could only happen in one out of 10,000 people.
Yes.
This level of thickness of it. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is fake, but it's a followed expectation. Mm-hmm. And so you have accounts that are fake, you have images that are fake, you have the filters that make us all a little bit fake. And then you also have deep fakes where videos are being made to look like someone real saying something. And I want to mention it because it's so easy to like or share something quickly, which is what we're accustomed to doing on social media. And you can very easily be falling for something that is absolutely not real.
We're experiencing a world where you are watching fake things all the time and you have no idea.
And one, familiarizing yourself with it is important. But two, also just taking a stand for not liking and sharing the content or expressing concern, I think is important for at least slowing it down. Like, it's coming, but to some degree.
I think, like, when you become aware of a fake account, you should take the time to report it.
Yes. I think so. Mm-hmm. But it's not in everyone's, like, wheelhouse of conversation. We see it because, again, as a business owner and a researcher, we're just researchers by default. We can't help it. But when you see the true capabilities of it, and then you understand how it's messing with the psyche of humans, guys are watching women that are absolutely not replicable in nature.
Correct.
And expecting that from girlfriends and wives and things like that.
It's becoming super disturbing.
There's problems there. And that's a bigger conversation. But I just want to say, you should be aware that the trend is there. Mm-hmm. You should know that deep fakes are being shared. You should know that fake images are being shared. And you should know that there's a lot of fake press releases and news files that come out from companies.
I don't remember the name of the company, but we saw that you sign up to be beta testing within it, and you just talk into a microphone and put your voice in and upload a picture. And it will make videos for you. Like, you don't have to say, you don't even have to say the topic
correctly.
Like, you don't have to talk it anywhere. You just give sample, like, do, re, mi. Like, so you get the sound of your voice. Upload, from what I understand, one picture. And then it is creating a video. You type in, I want to talk about potatoes. And it will create a AI-generated video of you talking about potatoes. And you haven't learned about potatoes, you didn't research potatoes, you don't really know anything about potatoes, but you are now suddenly this talking person from a video acting like you're an expert around potatoes.
Yep. So it's going to become more and more important to really know who you're getting your information from. Potatoes. We do have a great deep love for potatoes. And so, look, we can't cover them all. I would tell you, like, reach out if there are other trends or fads you want us to cover, but I'm going to cut us off here.
We have to cut off.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind you, all of this applies to your greater life. One, be a savvy consumer who's asking, what is this company? Look up companies you're going to buy from. Actually look up what they're selling you and compare it to research or other known reputable products. And if something sounds too good to be true, it genuinely probably is.
That
has been true since the beginning of time. It is still true on social media. And just reminding yourself of that so you can walk yourself back from some impulse decisions that just sounded too good to be true can save you a lot of harm to your body long term and just frustration and loss of money.
Yeah, you have one precious body. And you get to walk through it with this one precious life. And when you start to value it the way that it is supposed to be valued, not from a place of objectification or perfection, but from a place of love and kindness and value for the gift that you have been given, it starts to change how you treat it.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you enjoyed this topic and learned something from it, I want to call your attention to two other podcast episodes that I think you'll really enjoy. In episode 50, we talk a lot about the difference between weight loss, fat loss, and muscle loss, which came up today in the conversation with Ozempic. It's a really powerful reframe that will change everything about how you take care of your body and approach being a healthy weight and a healthy size. I also want to mention episode 55. There, we break down the real ways social media is impacting our brains and our lives that change the way we take care of ourselves. It's also a really eye-opening conversation that will help you be more proactive in choosing how you're taking care of yourself. Both of those episodes are great. And
We'd encourage you to share this episode with one person who came to mind while you were listening to it to help spread the information to more people and get good quality health information out there. Thank you for joining us today. And in the meantime, we want to remind you to be kind to yourself in the process of change.